Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message. Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, and let us all stand and read verses 1 through 6. Ephesians 4, we're going to read together verses 1 through 6. And let's go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this awesome morning of worship and praise unto you. And so, God, we're asking now, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, God Strengthen Me to Endure. Strengthen me to endure. And saints, many of us, God is going to remind us in this message, is that Jesus mentions it several times, that those who endure to the end shall be saved. And so we got to look at this word endure a little closer this morning. Amen. Are we there at Ephesians 4, 1 through 6? Let's all read. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. May the Lord have a blessing to hear and read of his word. You may be seated. Saints, very little is said on the subject of endurance because it sounds like a lack of faith, lack of victory, lack of success. However, endurance is not a lack of any of these things, but it is an indication of the grace of God, courage, strength, faith on the part of the person under duress or under stress. And so let's look up here. A common misconception of Christian people. Listen, we all know that we are the household of faith. We all know that majority of us are born from above. We are called believers. Can I get an amen? But we also know outside of the faith of God are unbelievers, atheists, humanists. We all know that there are things that people outside of the faith of God cannot see what you and I see. Why? Because God has given us ears to hear and eyes to see. Now that we've been born from above, we can now understand the grace of God, the mercy of God. And so I want you to look up here. If we possess enough faith, we will automatically find supernatural escape from every problem, sickness, or trial. Wrong. You see, God's word teaches that some things must be endured. Can I get an amen? You can have all the faith in the world, but God says, I have called you for such a time as this, and I have prepared a plan for you. And many times that plan is not like a rose garden. Can I get an amen? There are times where we have to endure hardship and things that come our way. And so it's not about having a lack of faith, because some of these faith groups say, well, you don't have enough faith. No, the Bible says to have the faith the size of a mustard seed. It's not having a whole bunch of faith. It's allowing God to work mightily in your life. And God is going to bring challenges to your life. Why? So that he can test you as you go through the fire. Hallelujah. You see, a lot of us don't want to go through the fire. But you have to understand And I want you to see this right up here in Ephesians. Walking with God is a vocation, not a vacation. Can I get it? You know what vocation means? Because in the King James, it's not in the New King James, but in the King James, look what it says up here. It says right up here, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the what? Vocation. Did you catch that? Vocation wherewith you are called. So don't think that because we're believers, we're on vacation. We're not. It's a vocation proclaimed, spoken over our lives by the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are things that you and I are going to see. Let's look at this in the Greek tense. Look at this, vocation, specialized, training, intense training. And in the Greek, it's called klesis, kletos, high calling, heavenly calling, holy calling to a particular task. You see, if you dig a little deeper, you'll find out, man, what do these words really mean? So there's a high call on our life. And with that high call, there's a responsibility. And also there's challenges. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Challenges. Now, one of the things that we can look back in the Old Testament, we can look at the saints of old, and we can see how God used them mightily. But it's there for us that if they can endure, hallelujah, the fire, hallelujah, guess what? So can we. One of the things that we have greater than the Old Testament saints is we have now the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We have the Holy Spirit living inside. See, the Holy Spirit hovered over them, but they never were inside. They were never born again. That had to happen on God's appointed times on the Feast of Pentecost. Look at Hebrews, what Hebrews says here. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless you and multiply you. And so after he had patiently, what? Say that with me, endured. One more time, say that. Endured. He obtained the promise. He had to press through. He had to stay on what God has called him to do. But many times we want to throw in the towel. A lot of times we don't see the things that we want, yet God has a whole different road for you to take. And a lot of times he'll send you through the wilderness, and these are things that you've never seen before. It's not what you imagined. And so when he was asked to leave his town, and I've sent you to another town, he didn't know all the enemies that would be there. He didn't know the trials and the tribulations. He walked by faith. He didn't even have the word of God. He just heard his voice. My goodness. Now let's look at the word endure. Endure. The Greek word for endure is hupaphiro. Let's try to say that one three times. Look, to bear up courageously under stress and suffering. That's one word we don't want to hear, huh? No one wants to suffer. But Jesus did. Did you know he climbed up on that cross after he was brutally beaten, skin torn from his body? The Bible says, in a graphic sense, you got to remember all the movies that we've seen, you know, the Passion of the Christ and all those movies, they always had a terry cloth on him. But the Bible says he was naked before the world, and you couldn't even tell his gender. That's how badly torn apart he was. He had to endure that you and I can have this grace that would come to us. Saints, throughout the Bible, God says to his people to endure. Endure all the way to the end. End of what? A lot of times we think the end of the age. No. Endure to the end of your life. My life. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Jesus may delay his time. We don't know when he's going to come. The Bible says no one knows the day or the hour. But God is saying endure. That means we personally have to endure. Can I get amen?
Amen.
I got some scriptures that back that up right here in Matthew 10:23. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. Amen. Can I get amen? Amen? How many of you want to endure? Yes. Keep on pressing. Right. Keep on doing what God has called you to do. Don't waver. Stay true to God. Can I get amen? Amen. Listen, stay true to him. I know it's hard to be true to our own self, but at least stay true to him. He is the giver of life. He's the one that birthed us. Hallelujah. He's the one that allowed your mom and dad to conceive you in your mother's womb. And he even knew your name before that even took place. And so you got to understand, he's a wonderful God, a marvelous God. Hallelujah. Look at this other scripture, and you will be hated. Once again, we saw Matthew, it's in Mark. And you will be hated by all men for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. See, a lot of times we miss these words, these key words in the Word of God. But when you start really searching and digging and finding out what they mean, then guess what? God starts opening up your understanding, and then he starts downloading into you wisdom and knowledge, hallelujah, and the grace, and he will equip you to endure. Can I get amen? Amen. He will equip you. Look what Paul wrote to the Roman church. He said it like this: rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. No, we want to get right out of that thing. I don't want this. Oh God, help me out of this. We're going to see a story just in a moment, and how God miraculously delivered these precious three men. Look at this. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continue steadfastly in prayer. And a lot of times, if we're not praying, guess what? When affliction comes, you'll just run to the doctor. Instead of seeking God, God, teach me. What am I eating? What am I saying? What am I doing? Lord, what have I allowed into my life? God, show me. I want you to cure me. There's nothing wrong with medical doctors. Praise God for them. But a lot of times we bypass God. You know why? Because a lot of you have an HMO and a PPO card. That's right. It's convenient. But how about fasting and praying and seeking his face and say, God, show me your ways, oh God, and allow me to endure. Oh, yes. Look at this, 2 Corinthians. But as servants, how many believe you're a servant? Oh, we're all servants, amen? But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way by great endurance in afflictions and hardships and calamities. My goodness. Come on. I'm sorry. If you thought you were coming here for a prosperity message, oh, man, come on. I want to see a $100 line. I want to see a $50 line. Yeah, man, and God will take care of everything. Man, that's rubbish. We're going to go through some stuff. Can I get amen? It's not about organization. It's about a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get amen? And God will tell you why. He'll show you why he's allowing these things in your life. Thank you, Lord. And so, my question is this. What does it mean to endure? What does it mean to endure? As I said, I want us to read this wonderful story here. And then we're going to expound on this story. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 3. And we're going to look at verses 8 through 29. And so let's read. Therefore, at the time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. This is the time when King Nebuchadnezzar was the man. And he sent out a decree. And the decree that he sent out was that no one will bow down to any other god but the statue that he created for himself. And anyone that was caught not bowing down to that image would be thrown into a fiery furnace. Man, what if that happened today? What if the feds came in and says, man, you know what? You keep reading this, we're going to throw you into the fiery furnace. Man, we'd have a paradigm change, wouldn't we? We would say, oh, man, I don't know about this. This is just religion. No. We're going to see that the worst came to them, but God saved the best for last. So let's look at this. They spoke and said, King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and the psaltery and symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image. I need to ask this question. What gold image is in your life? What are you bowing down to other than the Lord Jesus Christ? Huh? We're going to see three young men that had a conviction that they booted every other god out of their life. And let's keep on reading. In verse 11 here. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have sent over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. So now you have these tellbearers. You have these people that are ratting on them. They're telling the king, look at those three. They're not bowing down to you. They do not serve your gods. Notice little g, not a capital G. Or worship the gold image which you have set up. Listen, right now, our whole nation is under attack. You know why? Because there's a new idol. And that idol is called self. Me, myself, and I. Don't tell me how to live. Don't you dare say that I need to worship this God that you read out of a book. That's what's taking place right now in our nation. This is why it's so important to seek his face. Why? Because the fire is coming to test us. Oh, yes, it is. So look at this. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These, O king, have not paid due to regard. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Verse 13, look at this. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage. That man was mad. How dare you not bow down to my image? Lord have mercy. In rage and fury gave the command to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? How will you respond to evildoers that will come and try to take away your liberty? Will you just bow down? Or will you stand in faith? All right? Let's look on. Now, if you're ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, the psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, yes, and fall down and worship the image which I have made good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Saints, this is where you and I as the church, we have to rise up in faith. Can I get an amen? Nothing's impossible with God. I don't care what you're going through right now. Hallelujah. If he's your all in all, if he's the Alpha and the Omega, if he's from everlasting to everlasting, if he is the God who spoke the whole entire universe into existence, if he's the one that breathed in you a soul, a living soul, don't you think he can defend you in the times that we live in? Don't you think he can't heal your body? Don't you think that he can't do the miraculous in your life? But look at this story as it continues. It says, but if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? What? My goodness. Look at verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. What? Look at that. These guys were bold. That whole nation was bowed down to that gold image, but not these three. My goodness. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. What? You know what that's saying? Devil, you are a liar. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
What God has raised up, what God has anointed, no one can touch you. No one can touch us. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We're going to see something so profound right now as this develops. Because we serve a mighty God, a wonderful God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
My goodness. Look at this. Who is able to deliver us from the fire of fear? And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. Look at verse 18 here. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods. They said, throw us in the fire. We're still not going to bow. Hallelujah. This is where you have to tell the things in your life that's contrary to the word of God, that I will not serve you no more. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Hey, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. God's speaking to me too. Can I get amen? He's speaking to all of us this morning. Why? Because if we are truly going to be on fire and filled with his power, we can't have no other gods before us. Can I get amen?
Amen.
My goodness. There's too many things that are more important than God. And God is saying, slow down. Slow your roll right now. I need you to hear me. Because God is the God that will deliver us. He will deliver us in our time of need. Amen? And so look what it says. The Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. Full of fury. And the expression on his face changed. In other words, what we see here is they were part of society there. They were probably part, maybe, in the ministry there. But when he made that golden image to bow down before me, he had a paradigm change, didn't he? The king did. Now he's looking at him with fury and rage. How dare you? Everyone's bowing to me. And you three can't? Look at this. His face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace seven times more than it usually was heated. My goodness. Listen, there are going to be times when the heat's going to turn up in your life. And it's going to get hotter and hotter and hotter. God's challenging us this day. What will you do as you stand in the midst of the fire? And so, verse 20, look at this. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. So they bound them up, cast them in. Look at this. Then these men who were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Wow. Just imagine this big old giant oven. Turned up seven times. It was probably so hot that it could melt metal. That's how hot it is. Or picture the volcanoes that are taking place right now. That's how hot it was. Seven times more. So you're looking at 1,000, maybe 1,200 degrees. And that's when metal melts. They were cast into it. Now, look at this. Verse 22. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Meaning, those prison guards opened up the door, and they were consumed. That's how hot it was. They died. And then, I don't know how they cast them in, but they somehow threw them in. My goodness. Hallelujah. Man. And it says, they fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask this question before we go any further. Have you ever been in intense fire like this? But let me just say this. Our trials, our tribulations that we go through is no different than this fiery furnace. You know why? Because it still brings duress and stress. And once that comes upon you, basically, you are now immobilized. It has captured you. And a lot of times, we can't even run to God because your mind is all twisted up because of that trial you're going through. Let's look at verse 24 here. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to the counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound in the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." I need you to just imagine right now, whatever you're going through right now, whatever you're about to go through right now, you got to understand that you are not there by yourself. Can I get an amen? Amen. As a true child of God, hallelujah, God says, "I will encamp angels around you. I will be there with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." But you got to understand that a lot of times we have no say in what God has prepared for you. Hallelujah. We have no say. Why? Because we've been bought with the price. We are no longer our own. We are now His. And so if He chooses a certain plan for your life, you have to say yes and amen, Lord. Because no matter what I go through, I know that You're with me. You're with me. Look at this. They answered and said, "O king, true, king. Look," answered, "I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Jesus was in the midst with them. Did you know that He was there? Hallelujah. Jesus, in the book of Colossians, He spoke the worlds into existence. He created us for His good will and pleasure. You got to understand that. He knew what our outcome would be in the life that He has given us. He's seen the beginning of our life. He has seen the end of our life. Hallelujah. And He has chosen a plan tailor-made for you and me. Tailor-made. This trial was allowed to take place so that thousands of years you could glean back and look at right now that if God can deliver them, He can deliver me. Can I get an amen? Oh, yes. He can. And if not, you need to think again. Look at verse 26 here. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." Now he's saying, "Servants of the Most." Now all of a sudden, oh my gosh, he's astounded. Now he's calling them servants of God. Look at that. That's what the enemy will do. When he sees God delivering you, he will look at it and say, oh my gosh, I'm out of here. But always remember this. He goes away for a little season. And then he'll come back to buffet you. But look at this. Servants of the Most High God, come out. Come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. Look at verse 27. And the satraps, the administrators, the governors, and the kings, the counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. Some of you right now, the doctor says, well, this is what's going on with you right now. And you're going to need this, or you're going to need that. Here's 12 more pills to take. Instead of taking one, no, I got 12 more for you. Did you know that surgery that takes place even today is still somewhat barbaric? I truly believe that God, I'm serious, that God didn't intend us to be opened up. Because God made us perfect in his sight. And there are times where we have to fast and pray and say, oh God, you are the great I am. You are the healer. These people were in the midst of a fire turned up 7 times. And look at this. Whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not even singed. Look at this. Not even singed. Were their garments affected and the smell of fire was not in them? They didn't even have no smoke on them. My goodness. How many believe God can deliver you like that? Come on. You got to believe God can deliver you just like that. Can I get an amen? Look at this. Nebuchadnezzar spoke saying, oh, he has the paradigm change now. And look what he said. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar spoke saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. The question is, how much do you trust God today? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you just trust him on what he did for you back then? Or can you still trust him on what God's allowing in your life today? Many of us have faith for yesterday. But yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not even here. God is saying, have faith and trust in God today. Can I get an amen? Thank you, God. You got to believe God for your miracle. You got to believe God for your healing. You got to believe God for your financial breakthrough. Jesus. You got to believe God. And look at this. And he says, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and that they have trusted the king's frustrated. Look at that. Frustrated the king's word. Let me just say this, especially what's taking place in California. We need to frustrate, hallelujah, these abortionists. Can I get amen? We need to frustrate all these that are saying that same-sex marriage is okay. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Can I get amen? We need to frustrate those folks. Just like they frustrated that king who said, bow down to this image. By the grace of God, we will not bow down anything that God calls an abomination. Can I get an amen? Amen. You got to believe God. You got to believe God, because those things are no different than a golden image. Why? Because they want to take place of God and cast out the word of God. My goodness. And so it frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except from their own God. That's out of the mouth of the king. So we need all these abominations to be crushed under the foot of Jesus. Can I get an amen? But he's looking for us to pray and to fast and to cry out. He's looking for us to do something. Faith without works is dead. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And so, I need you to look at this. And this is what happened to them. And this is how you need to perceive. Because a lot of us, we don't want to go through trials. Oh, no. Some of us want to just go home and put the pillow over our head and just go away. Go away, trial. Oh, no. We want to put our head in the sand like an ostrich and let the world pass by. But look at this, saints. God delivered them in the fire and not from the fire. Did you catch that? They were in the fire when he delivered them. He could have said, no, I'm not going to allow you to go in there. It's seven times hotter. No. Their faith allowed them to go in because they didn't want to serve any foreign god. And so God came in the fire to deliver them. Amen. What are you in right now that you think it's too hard for God? What are you in? You see, saints, only the elect, well-grounded and deep-rooted, will endure according to the end. An unbeliever has no hope unless they turn to Jesus. Can I get amen? We have the answers. We have the hope. God has given us eyes to see, ears to hear. God has promised us. He has given us his spirit. Hallelujah. We serve a mighty God. Hallelujah. And so look at this. Some things we could be called upon in this life to endure. Oh, yes. I know it's tough sometimes. But let's go through these real quick. Number one. One of the things that we're called to endure is persecution. I like how Brother G, I remember when I was little, he used to say this. It's a little cliche, but there are some folks that talk out of the side of their neck. Oh, you didn't get that one, huh? There's some people that persecute you, and they're talking out the side of their neck. They're talking evil against you. They're bad-mouthing you. They're bashing you. And a lot of times the unbeliever will come against you because of your faith in Christ. Listen, I know we're not being persecuted like the Middle East. But just imagine if this law changed and just by naming the name of Jesus, they'll lop your head off. Wow. Look at this. Paul spoke to the Thessalonian church. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith and all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. God knew that in the ages to come, that the church would be under fire. And right now, our religious rights, our freedoms are under fire right now. God knew. He saw this. And so we are encouraged. Saints, Paul mentions some of the persecutions that reminds us that we who live godly in Christ will suffer the same. Did you know that? We will suffer the same type of persecution. And I'm talking about the body of Christ. I'm not talking about just our general assembly here. I'm talking around the world. We're all one body. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Look at what it says right up here in 2 Timothy 3. But you have carefully followed my teaching. This is Paul writing to Timothy. Manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. Look at this. He mentions what? Oh, living in a rose garden. No, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured. He went through some things. Hallelujah. Look at this. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Look at this. And yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ will. Listen, you can't look in your word and put an X right there. Some might. No. All who live godly will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. There's some folks, they won't talk about anything else, but line up the basket. They won't talk about the heart issue, the issues of the heart. Can I get an amen? And then we're going to suffer this, affliction. Affliction. We have to endure affliction. Can I get an amen? Paul said we would face distress, anxiety, hardships, and sufferings. Look what he says in 2 Timothy. You have been watchful in all things. Endure what? Afflictions. Saints, this is a serious matter. Can I get an amen? Amen. Must endure. Afflictions. Look at this. To do the work of an evangelist, to fulfill your ministry. It's going to happen. But we got to endure. Look at what also it says right here. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. Man, I'm telling you, with joy of the Holy Ghost, this is how you overcome, with the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord has to be your strength. Can I get amen? Amen. So when God allows affliction to come, is the joy of the Lord, hallelujah, in you and through you? Is he upon you? Hallelujah. Or are you trusting him with your own understanding? My goodness. Look what it says in James right here. I'm giving you precept upon precept this morning. Line upon line. Hallelujah. Because if it's not mentioned in the word of God, don't even listen to me. It's in the word though. Look at James 5:10. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. That's one thing that we don't like. I want to avoid suffering. I'll just come when they have a tostada bar. You know I love to have fun. But God is good. Can I get an amen? Amen? Come on. Let's give him praise and glory right now. Come on. We're going to get something out of this message. Amen? Come on. It's for us. For when we do find ourselves in this predicament, we'll be able to understand and go to the source of life. Look at this. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. And you know what? I've seen you guys come Sundays and Wednesdays and come out to pray. You guys are blessed. Can you receive that right now from your pastor? That you guys are blessed. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. You guys seen the roller coaster rides that we've been on. But God has seen us through. And what God has anointed, no man can touch you. Can I get amen?
Amen.
No one can touch. No mouth can come against you. Look at this. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and he is merciful. Thank you, God. He's been merciful to us. Thank you, God. And here's another characteristic of endurance, is sometimes we're going to face hardship. Hardship. We're going to face hardship. Saints, Paul said that hardship would be brought upon us because we are Christians. And Paul admonished Timothy to endure the hardship. Endure it. Sometimes God has to just allow us to go through and chisel us. Sometimes there's things on us that needs to be cut off, and we don't even see them. Aren't you so blessed that he sees your blind sides? Huh? He sees your blinds. He sees what needs to be carved out. Yes, he does. Look at this. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Hardship is going to come, but can you endure it? Can you say that I am a soldier of Christ? I'm going to pick up my cross daily. I'm going to follow you, Lord. And though they may not join me, yet I will still follow. Come on. I know many of you, precious saints, have asked others to come. And we all have unbelieving family members and friends and co-workers. We know that. But until God gets a hold of their heart, God is saying for us, keep on moving forward. Keep on pressing. Keep on going. Can I get amen? Amen? Don't give up. Never give up. Hallelujah. There's a prize waiting for you. A crown of glory. Listen, some of you may have a what do you call it? What do you call that savings account? It's called a 401. Yeah. And it may look like endless dollars, but God has a whole lot more than that. That's going to shrink up as soon as you retire. Or if an emergency arose and then it gets depleted, then the only thing you got left is God. It's God. That's the only thing that's left is God. And then part of the enduring is we're gonna suffer grief. We're going to go through grief. One of these coming. God. You ever went through so much grief that you had no more tears? They were dry tears now. Oh, yeah. Now, look at this. Let's look at this word grief in the Greek. Did I have it down here? Okay. No. The Greek word for grief, it's called lupe. L-U-P-E. Lupe. And it's not Lupe Talamantes. She was a good old friend back in high school. It's lupe. You know what that means? Sorrow, headache, heaviness, sadness from false accusations and criticism, rejections by others. Grief. We think sometimes when one passes, it's grief. Yeah, that's a type. But in the Greek, it's deeper. It's when someone comes and starts carving things out of you that they're not supposed to touch. And it hurts bad. Oh, we've never done that to others, have we? Oh, okay, just I have. That's a harsh thing to know. It's grief. But look at this in Peter. For this is commendable. If because of conscience toward God, one endures what? Grief. It's right there in the Word. How many is getting something out of this message this morning? Hallelujah. You know why? Because the Word will speak all by itself. I'm just encouraging you to get in your Word. Can I get amen? So that you can grow in the grace of knowledge. So that you could understand when these things happen that we're not taken unawares. That we could go back to the Word and say, oh God, okay, this is a familiar thing. Now I know who to run to. And that's running to Jesus. Look at this. For this is commendable if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering, what? Wrongly. And listen, God will never tell you to take vengeance on anyone. Can I get amen? Amen. Don't you backlash. Don't rise up in self-righteousness, even though you know without a shadow of a doubt they're wrong and you're right. Humble yourself in the sight of God and he will lift you up. Can I get an amen? For what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. This is why Jesus said, blessed are those who persecute you. Blessed are you. You know, just, when they come against you, it hurts. Man, you have to ask God to take it away. Can I get an amen? Because you can't change. Listen, you cannot change nobody's heart. If you think you can change someone's heart, think again. They got their own heart, and they have their own conviction. They have their own guilt and shame. They have to stand before God themselves. But God is teaching you how to defend and how to negate that when it comes against you. You do what the word says. But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. Look at this. For to this you were called. You were called. You were called for this. Some of us, I'm not saying all of us, but some of us, but it pertains to all of us. Amen. Your house needs to be in order before God. Amen. It has to. Why? Because we're called. We're called to this type of life. If you were called to live a Hollywood life, think again. We were called to suffer. Oh, man, don't talk about it. I'm not coming back here. I've been praying for my caddy. I'm giving all my money for that car, and I still don't see it. What you got to figure out, what is truth and what is false. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. He's not saying to follow the rich man. He's not saying follow the one that's in decadence. He's saying follow the one who went up on that cross for your sins and mine. And he mentioned nothing out of his mouth when he was being spat on, when he was being persecuted, when he was being lied upon, when they stabbed him, and when they did all kinds of things. You know what he said? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And this is how we have to look at those who come against you. They don't even know what they're saying. I'm not going to let that offend me. You know why? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Can I get an amen? You got to believe God is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Is this word coming alive unto thee? Or did I just have a dream and let me just toss it up to see if it'll stick on the wall? This is the part I know you and I have a trouble with. You know what? We talked about the family because it's vital to Christ. But if the house is out of order, then you could allow this to take place. It's chastening. This is where God has to come and give you a nalgada. Okay, for those of you that don't know what that means, he has to take hit the board of education to the seat of your understanding. How many believe that God has an order? And what is the order? God first? Can I get an amen? Then who comes right next? No. Think again. God first. Then who? Then the man. Then the woman. And then the child. There's an order. Things are sometimes out of order. And when they become out of order, and if you're a true child of God, he will come and chasten you, and he'll allow things to be havoc in your life until you get it right. Until you learn to get it right, it's always going to be bubbling there. And why is this? Why isn't things coming together as one? Because it's out of order. And then so God has to bring chastening. And you know what that chastening is? It's pain and it's hurt. It's turmoil. It's grief. Everything that we talked about. My goodness. Look at this. You have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as my sons. And you can put daughters too. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Listen, if you never got a paddling from God, maybe, just maybe, you're not his. I've been to the whooping shed many times. Because I disobeyed him. I jumped out of his will. There were times where I ran. And God has to pull you in. And sometimes you don't like it when he pulls you in. I can hear a pin drop now. That's right. But this is good for us. Amen? Amen. Look at this in verse 7. If you endure, there's that word endure. If you endure that chastening, God deals with you as sons then. So if you haven't got whooped yet, think again. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? Those of you that have children, when's the last time you had to correct them? When's the last time you had to rebuke them? When's the last time? Not just to do it, because they have a spirit of rebellion. But if you are without chastening, of which you have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. And you know what illegitimate means? Oh, who's got the King James Version? What does that word say? What? Say that one? Okay, I'm glad you said it and not me. Because back in the day, we would bleepity, 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 bleep, and that one word would come out too. But that's a King James word. And people didn't even know they were speaking out a word of God. That means illegitimate. My goodness. But if you are without chastening, of which all have become, then you are illegitimate and not sons. And so, as we're coming in for our close, another thing that we have to learn to endure, and this is the final one here, is temptation. And guess what temptation is? It's an enticement to do evil. And it's a test or trial. It's a test or trial. James said that the person who endures temptation is blessed. How many of you have been through some temptations? And by the grace of God, you got an A on your report. Some of you are still turning in D papers. He says, no, man, this is not good. I need you to retake this test. Look at this. Blessed is a man who endures There's that word. Does that word keep coming up? I don't know how many categories we put up, but the Word of God says endure. Blessed is a man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. What's tempting you right now? What is that little god that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow down to? What are you willing to give to God today? And say, God, make me a better man and make me a better woman in Christ. Help me to raise up my children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Help me to be a good steward over my finances that I won't be in that rut. Help me to get rid of these credit cards. Help me to trust in you, God. And you know what God will do when you become good steward, especially those who have finances? He'll take away that credit card and he will load up on your debit card. Did you catch that one? But you got to honor him in all that you do. I know a wonderful person. I won't give him away his name. Beautiful, beautiful person, good friend of mine. But he'll go to churches and he'll dump a whole bunch of money in the box to appease God so that this is my appeasement, but still living in sin. You can't buy out God. He's not for sale. And so God never entices us with evil. Temptation is not a sin. Succumbing to it and giving to it is a sin. Endure temptation. If you're not delivered from it, then that means you've been deceived sometimes, and victory can be yours even today. Can I get an amen? How many believe that victory is yours? Victory is yours. So, we're going to break down this last scripture and then we close. And then we can bust into those. Don't stop us. Look at this. I want you to look at this. Luke 9:23. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. These are four things in here that we can't just skim it by. Look at this, saints. It says we must deny ourselves. We must take up our cross daily. We must follow Jesus. Can I get an amen? Amen. And look what Paul wrote to the Galatian church. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. So God is saying, listen, this is how you get past all this, is learn to die to self. Just learn to die to self. Why? Because those that endure to the end will be saved. Let me repeat this again. Right here. And you will be hated by all my namesake, but he who endures to the end will be what? Saved. The Old Testament saint. I got two scriptures to look at, and then we close. Look at this. Ezekiel wrote this. Can your heart endure? Or can your hands remain strong in the days when I shall deal with you? I, the Lord, have spoken and will do it. There comes a time in our life where God directs, he directly deals with you personally. He deals with me personally. And it's how you respond is the whole key. How do you respond when he deals with you directly? When he puts on the big screen in the privacy of your mind and all the things that he's saying, give this to me, give that to me, give this to me, give this to me. And let me be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to you. Can you give those things to him? How many believe that Jesus is love? Huh? And so Paul wrote this, and we close with this scripture right here. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So when you're walking in the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, that will consume the grief, the hardship, the anxiety, the fear, and all those things that pertain to your life. And you watch God do the miraculous in your life. How many of you can honestly say that you need a blessing today? You need the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to show up. Some of you right now are in the fire. And sometimes good-natured doctors will tell you something, but God says, you know what? You haven't come to me. And watch God do the miraculous. You got to believe God, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. How many of you can honestly say, you know what, Lord? There's some things that need to be worked on in my home. And only you can fix it. But you know how he fixes it? By you yielding to him. We want to do the blame game. No, it first starts with me. And when you come to that understanding, man, you know what? It's been me the whole time. Then God can now do the miraculous in your life. And so how many believe that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could ever think and ask and hope for, and that the joy of the Lord will be your strength? And so I'm going to pray this simple prayer for those who are listening right now. Maybe you're here. Maybe you've never truly given your heart to God. Maybe you've been coming and, you know what, this sounds good, and yet, but you know what? The bottom line is you never entered into the story. How do you enter into the story? By faith. Believing who Jesus is. Believing that he is the one that died for your sins. That only he can deliver you. And only he can save you. And get the mindset out that this is all about religion. It's not. It's a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're here or abroad listening to this message, my heart cry is that this is the day that you heard his voice and you're going to surrender now. You're going to say, oh God, here I am. Listen, if Jesus was on the cross, naked before the world, crucified for you and I, all God is saying is take your nakedness. I'm not talking about a natural thing. I'm talking about a spiritual thing. Bear it all to him. He sees it all. He sees every fault and failure. He sees the healing that needs to take place. He sees the breakthrough that you need. He sees the people that need to be saved, and you are the key element to them. He will use you mightily, but can you surrender to him totally? And if that's you right now, come to him by faith. Cry out to God right now and say, oh God, forgive me because I have sinned. So I'm going to ask everyone to pray this prayer. It's a simple prayer. Just remember, there's nothing mystical or magical about the prayer. It's not a formula. But it's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is saying, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. And if that's you, pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you by faith. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for all my sins. Come into my heart. Make me a new person. In Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to follow you and to honor you all the days of my life in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen. Come on, give them praise and glory in the house. Hallelujah. He's worthy. Jesus is worthy. He's worthy, worthy, worthy. Hallelujah.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Hallelujah.